In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our text for today is the Holy Gospel from St. John, which I've already read. You may be seated. One of the criticisms I often hear of Christianity is that Christians are so focused on heaven that they don't care much about the world that we're living in right now. The interesting thing about that is that history clearly destroys that thought process. For it was Christians that established the first hospitals. It's not an accident that we have hospitals named St. Joseph or St. Vincent or even up in Fort Wayne Lutheran Hospital. It was the Christians who rescued unwanted infants from death by exposure when Greek and Roman parents abandoned them to the elements. It was Christians who helped the poor and the widowed in a world that was marked by a survival of the fittest kind of philosophy. The accusation comes from an ignorance of Christian teaching. Our Lord commands us to be caretakers of this creation. It's built into who we are, so to speak. Moses writes in Genesis 2, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it." Adam was the chief steward of this creation. God had put all things into his care. Or consider what we heard last Sunday. Remember how Jesus spoke of the Father's care of your physical needs, what you eat, what you drink, what you wear. Or consider one of the most beloved parables of Jesus, the parable of the Good Samaritan. In that parable, Jesus models how we are to take care of our neighbor's physical well-being. And in so doing, he also demonstrates the way that he cares for his neighbor. That is, for you and for me. Or consider what Jesus says about the final judgment. After the angels separate the sheep from the goats, he says, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." In this, Jesus taught us that caring for the physical needs of those who are around us, in so doing, we are mysteriously serving him too. Christianity and human care, physical care of the body, cannot be separated. Today, the church places another beautiful example of our Lord's care for his people before us. Considering our present circumstances, this text could not have come at a better time. And so let's consider a few of those details. First, the crowds are following Jesus into the wilderness because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. If we look at what Matthew writes about this account, it says that Jesus had compassion on these crowds. The Greek word behind our English word compassion is splagnizomai, which is a kind of a gut-wrenching compassion that moves someone to help someone else. It's interesting to note that this word is only used of Jesus in the Gospels. It also indicates to us that he is about to use his mighty power to save. The people came to Jesus because he was caring for their physical needs. Perhaps, though, one of the most wonderful little details about this miracle is what the evangelist, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says about it. Jesus turned to Philip after he saw the crowds coming, and he said, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" The evangelist breaks in at this point and he says this by way of commentary. He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Now, Philip must have been Scottish because he was concerned about the high cost of giving everybody a tiny bite of food. Where are we to buy bread for all of these people to eat? 200 denarii would not be enough to get a little. Andrew, the other apostle in this story, is completely overwhelmed. There's a boy who has his family's picnic lunch in tow, but the scale of the problem for him is too large. There's a boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many? He says. Sometimes the ingenuity of man is impressive. God has given us a great gift in our reason. I'm amazed, for instance, that we have put men on the moon and returned every single one of them back safely here to the earth. Even more amazing, the phones that most of us carry in our pockets have more computing power than what they use to accomplish this colossal feat. But there are other times that we see the fragility of man. Consider the fact that the world has been frightened into isolation by something so small that we can't even see it with our naked eye. As powerful and intelligent as we are, there are times like this that we are exposed for who we really are. We are not invincible. There are things that confront us that are more powerful than we are. But Jesus knew what he was going to do. He knew the problem. He knew that it would happen long before the foundation of the world, that he would be in the wilderness with these people, far from any place to eat. There are no coincidences in Scripture. It was not just a coincidence that Jesus encountered a funeral procession coming out of Nain in Luke's gospel, or that Jesus encountered the Canaanite woman whose daughter was demon-possessed that we heard about a few weeks ago. There is nothing that catches our Lord off guard. In his farewell discourse to his disciples on Maundy Thursday, Jesus warns the disciples about the trouble they will encounter as those who go and preach in his name. He says that they know that he knows they're going to happen. In other words, Jesus knows the problems that we will face. Jesus knew the problem of the hungry crowds even before they happened. And in the same way, Jesus knows about this current crisis now, long before it even struck. Jesus knows the struggles that each and every one of us face as his sheep. And even more so, he knows what he's going to do about it. Here our Lord multiplied the loaves and fish to feed 5,000 men, not including the women and children that were certainly present. They got more than Philip wanted to give. Everyone ate until they were full. It was not just a light snack to get them back to wherever they needed to go. They ate to the full, and there was more left over than what they had started with. This is the kind of power that your Jesus has to rescue and to save. And so, dear people loved by God, the devil and the world want you to panic. They want you to be afraid. Panic and fear cause us to withdraw into ourselves and cause love for the neighbor to grow cold. That's why we see the kinds of hoarding taking place that we do. People are more concerned with themselves than with a neighbor. Panic and fear drive us away from God, who is our light and our salvation. God calls us to fear, love, and trust in him above all things. We're not to fear a virus. We're not to trust the government to take care of us. We're not to love ourselves. Instead, we are called to fear, love, and trust in the God of our salvation, for he gives us every good and perfect gift. Your Lord sits enthroned in heaven. We confess this every time we say the creed, that Jesus is ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God.
He's there as your advocate, pleading with the Father to guard and keep you, but he's also there to rule all things for your good. All authority in heaven and on earth is his, and every single one of his enemies is under his feet. In Jesus' name. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.